Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and today on Talking Art, we are going to explore the concept of creativity, because the creative process is essential for the development of all art forms and also helps to define who we are as human beings. This fall, Augustana College opened a Center for Creativity on their campus, and here with me today is Dr. John Fouts, professor of music and the driving force behind the center at Augustana. Welcome, Dr. Fouts.
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, the Center for Creativity is an actual physical space on your campus where students are encouraged to think creatively and collaboratively. Why did you perceive a need for this type of place on your campus?
Well, the Center for Creativity is something that has sort of become a trend among liberal arts colleges, although there aren't that many who are doing it, but we expect more and more to do that. What the driving force behind it was that we have 9 student learning outcomes, and one of them is considered creative thinking. And the AACNU, which is American Association of Colleges and Universities, and even has a rubric for creative thinking, as it does critical thinking and lots of other things, global learning, etc. And so it is a pattern that most people in liberal arts education realize that learning about creativity is something that we should be an emphasis. It's something that we are all born with, but somehow most of us feel like we've lost some of that somewhere along the way by coloring within the lines, for instance, use that as a metaphor for all types of learning. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, and you actually, because this is a physical space, you created it, you call it the Cat Lab, short for Catalyst, which I love. Describe for listeners what it looks like inside.
Well, actually, it probably looks like we have low lights, we have a beanbag chair, we have a couch, we have a keyboard, piano keyboard, we have computer setups, we have a projector, we have sound production materials, and we have toys, I guess I can call them toys, sort of a Kinex, for instance. That's a brand name I probably shouldn't mention, but something like that, that people can use with their hands to create things. And soon there will be a 3D printer or two and some other things like that. And so, but when you walk in, you might see the large screen TV that is hooked up for students to hook up their computers to, sort of a station for a group of students to share their information by computer. And you'd see a door to a large storage room. So we could use a lot more space. In that storage room, we have lots of things that there's just not room for yet. But so it's not a large space, but it's a comfortable. I think that was the whole purpose, was to make it seem like a lounge, someplace that I can just go and relax and talk with other people.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of things in that room, and I'm not sure, you probably already mentioned the whiteboards. I just love them.
They're round.
They surround the walls, and people can write down anything on them. An idea they have, a problem they're working on. They can write a poem. They could write an equation down that they're working on if they're a math major. It's really great. So that sparks then further conversation by other people who come into that room or space.
Exactly. That's what we hope. And so we try to not have an agenda with the room, but we have to allow other people to bring their own agendas and find collaboration.
Mm-hmm. There's this idea that creative people are those who are immersed, you know, in the arts, say a student in music or the fine arts, but that's really a misperception. Really, all of us are creative, and you had said before that you want to make that distinction and to emphasize the fact that all of us, people in math, science, accounting, whatever you're studying, creativity is really important.
Exactly. You're exactly right that there seems to be an illusion that I'm not creative because I don't play or I don't sing or I don't paint. And that is absolutely wrong. So there are plenty of things that I do in singing that are not at all creative, like singing scales and doing warm-ups. What's creative about that? Nothing. It's not creative until I know my art form well enough and what to know how I want to bring a creativity into that as far as an expression goes. Well, the same thing goes with a biologist who wants to tell us about, you have interviewed Dr. Tierney Brocious, and she is an artist as well as a biologist. She draws lots of paintings or makes lots of drawings about insects and things like that. It's your specialty. And so that's an example of someone outside of the typical fine and performing arts who use creativity in their teaching as well as in their life type of thinking.
Mm-hmm. I like to think about it from a mathematical standpoint. You know, sometimes the solution to a really complex problem comes at us at very unexpected times, sometimes when we've shut our minds down. And you also said earlier that experimentation and failure are important components of education. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit because it's really so interesting. You told me earlier that it's completely fine to fail and that itself is a learning experience.
Exactly. We're very much interested in providing a safe environment for people to experiment. And as long as we think we're getting a grade for that experimentation or that we are limited to the parameters of which the syllabus says or something like that, then we generally don't get very creative. We say, oh, these are the parameters. I better stay within those parameters, or else I might fail at that and have to do it again or fail altogether. And so, we want the safe environment that the most famous innovators that we can think of failed many times and stuck with it.
There's this quote from Thomas Edison that I had to look up, which is, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work.
Yeah.
that's
wonderful.
Yeah, that's really apt. And do you think there's just something in our culture that that makes us more averse to experimentation and taking on something new, sticking our necks out a little bit? Do you think there's something ingrained in our educational systems that caused that?
Well, I think that's true. I think it's easy to be wrong by saying all education does that to us, because that's not true either. There's many wonderful teachers out there who really cultivate creativity and through all ages, and that's wonderful. But anytime you are preparing for a test, and we do a lot of testing in elementary and middle and senior high schools, and that a lot of weight is put on those things, perhaps not as much as in China and in even the European system, but we do a lot. And so parents realize this test is important. You need to get a good night's sleep tonight, and you need to get those read those questions very carefully so you get them right. And that is important, for sure. But the message, I think, that is told to that kid is, gee, I better not waste my time coloring or waste my time making a piece of art, because that's not going to be on the test.
Mm-hmm. So we're unintentionally
right
doing this. And then we're in a situation now where things are changing so rapidly, and you as an educator have this very difficult task of teaching students skills for a future world that's really hard for us to imagine. What we're educating people for now, those skills or tasks that they're learning, they're becoming obsolete very quickly.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And so we are at Augustana and many other schools are rethinking what should be the majors that will prepare people for a job in 20 years, and what jobs are going to be obsolete or so specific that we can't possibly educate them specifically for a job. And so that's what liberal arts education is all about, is trying to get people to know how to think and how to be creative so that they can apply that creativity to, well, I don't know yet how to be involved in artificial intelligence, for instance, but I can be very flexible because I have these skills that I worked on through my college education, preparing me to be flexible and think, you know, the typical word is think outside the box, but think uniquely.
You know, there's so many aspects of undergraduate life that they're beautiful. They're really difficult times too, of course. But part of what's great about being an undergraduate is finding this community, whether or not it's, you know, intellectual or otherwise. Do you think that we are becoming more isolated to a greater degree now compared with students in the past, despite our technological advances? And is that isolation, if it's present to a greater degree now, is that isolation somewhat stifling us creatively?
Yeah, Carolyn, that's a great question. If you walk on our campus, and maybe this is everywhere, you could probably count the people who do not have earphones or headphones on as they're walking across campus on one hand. It's just we have learned to allow technology to shut us down from each other. And so eye contact and greeting someone, saying hello, often requires someone to pull their headphone out so they can hear what you're going to say. And that's unusual, you know. And as we know from, you know, all kinds of social media, that we are very much connected to that. And that shuts down conversation. Mm-hmm. Professors know this, not just Augustana, but elsewhere. And no matter how frustrating it is to assign collaborative assignments and projects, it's frustrating because it's hard to grade them. It's hard to – there's always somebody who doesn't get involved, and there's always somebody who perhaps writes the whole project or works is the driving force, and it's hard to evaluate that. But group projects do require people to talk and to be in a room face-to-face. And we think that's important because what we see of Augustana is not just about job marketing, but what we do see after Augustana is many jobs where people are working together, sitting at a table across the room, collaborating, negotiating, and ideating or creating ideas for a project. And then Augustana should be, if this is a wave of the future that with a different job market, then we want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. You'd mentioned that term ideation, and there is a little bit of a distinction, which I thought was fun to learn about, between these maker-doer spaces, which is what you've really established with your center, and an ideation space. Can you talk about the differences between those?
Well, I think that, for instance, my son teaches at a high school that has two separate spaces, an ideation space, which is a clean space. There's computers there. It's clean in the sense that it looks like a regular classroom. Well, no, it doesn't. Not with all those kind of chairs and rows. But it is a lot of technology in there. Okay, so ideation. And then there are maker-doer spaces. Well, we think of those as being dirtier. Yes, there's whiteboards that half erased or half filled out or whatever. And nobody really cares about that. It's okay. It doesn't have to look clean. There are a lot of markers all over the place and unfinished, perhaps, artwork or posters being made, that kind of thing. And so a maker-doer space allows us to be in process or in progress. And whereas an ideation space, I think, is for a more limited amount of time. Meeting there, we're going to talk about this with my group was working on a project, and just collaborate and see what happens, and then we leave the room, and the room is open for somebody else to do something. Whereas the makerspace may stay dirtier for a while.
Mm-hmm. When you were thinking about this project and proposing it, were there other models around the country that you used as for an example that you wanted to emulate?
Right, that's a great question as well. Thank you. We started talking about this 4 years ago, So that was with, so now we are on our third provost who's been involved
in
this.
In that period of time.
Yeah, in that period of time. And we've had good administrative support, but it just hasn't clicked, hadn't clicked until the end of last year that this could really happen and it could happen then. And so that was great to find that. The reason why I'm saying that is that it just doesn't it didn't just happen in a second or in a flash. I read something and, okay, let's do that. There's been and so along the line, there's probably been 18 to 20 people, faculty members, involved with me on this project. And some right from the very beginning. Some have dropped out because they're or left the college for whatever reason, but also because they've taken on other committee roles that have required lots of time. But so it has been a slow process in that sense, but it's been worthwhile. So as far as what sources we looked at, there's lots of articles about this, but lots of schools have done very well about this. I just saw in, I think, New York Times about Skidmore College, and that was one of our sources, that they had this creativity effort that was campus-wide 4 years ago. So they were one of the four leaders in this. And then another university, Buffalo State University, has even a master's, and we're talking about getting a doctorate in creative thinking. Hmm. So so there's lots of academic approach to this, as well as – so that's part of the ideation part, but then there's lots of places where there's dirty spaces and people are making a five-string violin on a 3D printer and playing it, and you can Google that and see it on YouTube.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
Are high schools doing this as well, or is it mainly higher education?
Well, I feel like we need to be doing it at Augustana because high schools are doing it. And like I said, my son teaches at a high school in Illinois that has those spaces. But then one close to us is Geneseo High School has just renovated their building and included, I'm not sure what they call it, but a maker-doer space of some sort.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of wondering if this could be expanded beyond Augustana and college campuses and into communities as well.
Yeah.
You know, it'd probably work better in a smaller community, but it might be something for the next big table to talk about, whether or not there could be a place for people in the Quad Cities to just to come together and have their ideas, you know, a physical space. And that was, of course, the idea behind the big table event, but that's kind of getting off topic a little bit. So what lessons have you learned so far since you just opened this last semester
right.
in the fall of 2018?
I think what I learned is that there's lots of people very interested in this and doing creativity in a quiet way in their classrooms and in their studios and in their lives and off and on campus. And so I'm encouraged by that. I'm learned some patience that in academia, you don't get things done the next day, even though you have a great idea. It takes a while. And of course, a lot of that has to do with convincing the people control the purse strings.
Yes, the purse strings.
Yeah.
They do come into play
yes.
in almost everything.
Yeah, they do. So part of what we hope to do is that this is a temporary space that hopefully will become part of a larger space that is, the plan is renovating Bergendorf Hall of Fine and Performing Arts. That is the building attached to Centennial Hall. Most of our listeners will know about Centennial Hall, if not Bergendorf Hall. And that needs some renovation. I hate to say it's an old building because it was created the same year I was. But anyway, it needs some renovation. Or maybe I do too. But that will, by gathering some funding for that building, and there is effort through the administration that's being done toward that, we will hopefully have a larger space that include ideation and a dirty space, and with on the front with lots of glass and people can look in and see what's going on and be motivated by that and say, in a welcoming space, like, oh, I'd like to go in there when I have free time. I'll go tomorrow or mm-hmm. something like that.
Are you thinking about having satellite spaces as well, because you had said to me that Bergendorf is a music kind of fine arts building, and so a lot of students in science or math will come in there, but you may try to open up satellite areas that are more accessible to them.
Exactly. We have made that known that we'd like to do that kind of thing, and the director of residential life has volunteered a space in one of our dormitory lounges. Westerland Lounge has a fairly large room that has not been used in a number of years, and so we are looking to move into that in the next few weeks, actually, as well. Open a new one. I don't mean move. And because the cost of having one is really finding a donated couch and donated chair and some lights and things like that, because the other things can be easily found on campus, so and moved into there. So other than paying some students to be there when the 3D printers are being operated and any kind of thing that needs safety, then there's nothing stopping us from opening a second one. And there's talk that a third one could be opened after the new annex for the Hanson Hall is complete, which would be a year and a half or something like that. And so wouldn't that be great if near the dorms there was one, and in the science building there was one, and then in the fine and performing arts another one?
Yeah, so. I think the dorm idea particularly is great, thinking back on college life. People are more apt to be talking a little bit more freely, you know, outside of the classroom space. So, I should have mentioned, and you alluded to it briefly, that you do have funds to hire students. You have some students who physically staff the place.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's really nice.
Yeah, I interviewed a number of people who were interested in doing this, and I was amazed at the people who interviewed their creativity and how they're using creativity now. And one young man from Zimbabwe has two 3D printers at home, you know, so that's great.
Yeah, it is great. Now, I want to talk briefly about what else you do at Augustana, because you've had a very full and varied career there. You are a professor of music. Mm-hmm. And when you came to Augustana in the late 1980s, did you establish the opera program there?
Right, I did. Yeah, so the opera program has been going since I arrived around 1987, but so probably the opera program's first season was in 1989, and it's not a large program. It's an undergraduate program, and just recently, well, in the last 3 years, I gave that up. 5 years now, I guess, sorry, to become the division chair for Fine and Performing Arts. And so now a very capable woman voice teacher, Dr. Michelle Crouch, has taken that over and taken it to a new level. And I'm very, couldn't be prouder of that.
Yeah, so. she's a lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you teach some studio voice lessons, and you have an interest in African music.
Exactly. That's right. So I'm teaching an African music class right now. I usually teach about once a year, and I go to Africa twice a year and do some teaching there and research as well. And I've always taught voice lessons as well.
Yeah. So. Well, that's great. Dr. John Fouts, thank you so much for your work bringing the new Center for Creativity to the Augustana College campus and for talking with me today. It's been delightful.
Thank you, Carolyn.
This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.